declare that you are the most important thing in our lives.
We love you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we've been talking about getting closer to God, I know it's interesting. I learned several years ago, not if I'm going to do a summer series, not to make it a long one because you have so many interruptions. You got about 4th of July, you got Mother's Day, you got Father's Day, Memorial Day, all kinds of days. And if you try to do that, you kind of expected to do a different kind of sermon on. So if you do a series, if you make it more than 4 or 5 sermons, you're kind of on over into the fall before you get through with it. So I don't do that. And plus, it's kind of hard because you have interruptions. But this is the last sermon in this series about getting closer to the Lord. And let me just remind you, we have seen that reordering our lives to lessen busyness and the envy of the world and its stuff can help us to be closer to God. That was the first sermon. And the second one was, we have seen that being still and isolating ourselves from worldly noise can help us be closer to God. And last time we studied how the discipline of solitude can help us to be closer to God. Now, our final message, we want to study the discipline of surrender. And I want to tell you that in my thinking and in, I think, the Word of God's consistent teaching, this is the most important principle in drawing closer to the Lord. Surrender. I want us to look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust, surrender to you in all our ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what that word trust means. Write that down. Is surrender. Surrender. When I was little, this is going to give my age away here, Wade. My folks always drove an AMC. American Motor Company, that's a company that went out of business about in the 70s sometime, I think. So AMC Rambler. How many of y'all are old enough to know what an AMC Rambler is? I don't know why, because we went through probably 4 or 5 of those things, and we never went anywhere without breaking down. I mean, never. And I remember one time, we were up in the Ozark Mountains going up to see my grandmother who lived up there. And that was before interstates and kind of made and doubled 4-lane roads and made its way. We were on what's called the Pig Trail going up to Fayetteville. And it just was, and the reason they called it that is because they followed a pig trail when they made the road, I guess. But in any case, we broke down and we were at this little service station. Some of y'all remember those. Those were places where you got gas, and they would actually pump your gas and work on your cars and stuff, you know. So we were there, but I was little, and I had fallen asleep, and I was in the back seat asleep. So when we got to the service station, they just put us on the little thing, and we went up, and everybody else was down drinking a RC Cola, and they had moon pies, and they were all down there eating that, and I was up asleep in the little back seat of the car. Well, I woke up, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I looked out the window, and you know, those things don't go up very high, but, you know, it looked high to me. I think I was 2 or 3 years old, and the mechanic was down there, and he was a nice guy. He said, well, here, son, open the door, and I'll just lift you down. Well, I didn't know him, and it looked high to me, and I said, no. I want my daddy, you know. And so he understood, and he went and got my daddy. And my daddy said, all right, son, I couldn't get the door to open. That's another thing about that Rambler. But anyway, I got the window rolled down, or the window was already rolled down because that was before air conditioners. So, you know, that was a while ago. So I climbed up in the window and I jumped. My daddy caught me and I went to the bathroom afterwards. But the thing was, I got out and I jumped out because I trusted my father to catch me. I didn't trust the mechanic. I'm sure he wouldn't have jumped back and let me hit the ground, laughed at me or anything. You know, he would have caught me. Now I know that. But I trusted my dad. I surrendered my fear and trusted him. I did not depend on someone else. I depended upon my father. And this little passage tells us to draw close to God so that He will always lead us clearly. And it speaks of this surrender, this trusting. And I wanted to think about some things that we as modern Christians refuse to surrender. Because I think it's very important. And you say, well, some of these aren't in here. They are in the Bible, and we're going to see that. But we'll get to that, why they may or may not be in here in a minute. But just bear with me as we study this morning. The first thing I think we need to surrender as Christians is we need to write this down. We need to surrender our rights. You notice that word understanding in our passage? We need to correct our understanding about many things as Christians. One area that we most misunderstand is the area of our rights. You know, I've told you this over and over again. Christians do not have any rights. When you surrender to King Jesus, when you make Him your Lord, you give Him all the rights you have, and you don't have them anymore. You've surrendered them to Him. Now, as Americans, we pride ourselves on our rights, and that's all fine and good. And the Declaration of Independence, for example, tells us we all have these rights. But believe it or not, the Declaration of Independence has it wrong. You know, listen, it says this, and I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C, with certain unalienable rights, capital R, that among these are, capital L, life, capital L, liberty, and the capital P, pursuit of, capital H, happiness." Now, I'm as patriotic as the next person, but guess what? Let me ask y'all, what is this? It's the Bible. Whose word is it? I looked, and I could not find anywhere in God's word that we are guaranteed certain unalienable rights like life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and all of that. Nowhere in the Word of God does it talk about these unalienable rights. Now, does that mean those rights are evil? Of course not. I mean, that Declaration of Independence are the principles upon which our country is founded. So it's not bad, it's not evil to try to give people rights and treat people equally and try to make people respect each other and have those are good things. But they just, I don't know what they were trying to do, but they said, you know, God said that we all have that. Well, this is God's word, and it's not there. It is the law of the land, and it's not a bad law of the land. But it does not mean that those laws of the land are guaranteed by God, especially for Christians. In fact, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus, says just about the opposite. You know, in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You are going to have it. It's not a might have it. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In Mark 10, Jesus taught his disciples, and he's teaching us, because everything he taught to them, it's put in the Bible to teach us as well, about this idea of lordship and the surrender of our rights. And in Mark 10:31, it says, But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And then in verse 33, it says, behold, talking about himself, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and they shall kill him, and the third day he will rise from the dead, or rise again. And then James and John, the politicians, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou would do us whatever we want. Would you do something for us? And he said to them, what would you that I should do for you? And they said, grant unto us that we may sit one at thy right hand and the other at thy left hand in thy glory. If you go down to verse 42, it says, Jesus says, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And he told James and John, you know, he says, look, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. When you come to be a follower of mine, you're not going to be lifted up in this life, and you're not going to have all of this importance and all of this rights and all of this stuff. In fact, you are going to be very, very, very misused by this world in which you live. And that was true. Every single one of those disciples were killed for following Jesus. Except for John. John lived to be in a ripe old age, you know. But even he suffered and was put in exile and was tortured. Doesn't sound like we have a lot of rights here in this life, does it? Not unalienable anyway, right? We do not. And as long as we somehow think that we do, we will not be as close to God as we could and should be. When you're running around and you're whining around about you're being put upon by someone else, you're not going to be close to King Jesus. Okay? So think about that. Think about that. You want to be closer to God? Surrender your rights. And then you need to surrender your future. Write that down, future. Over the years as a school teacher and a youth director, I've had lots of young people come to me and they're worried about their future. You know, they sincerely want to know what God has planned for their future. And you're like me, you know, when I was scared to jump out of that car, you know, they're afraid to surrender and trust God with their future. You know, and I understand because I was there. Many of us have been there. You know, you see your friends and they're graduating and they get a decent job. You see your friends and they're getting married. You see other people and they're being successful and you're struggling. And they want to be close enough to God to understand the future, but they can't seem to get there. Well, in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, the Christians were worried about fulfilling all of the religious rites and rituals that they thought they were supposed to do. And they were worried about not only pleasing God, they were worried about pleasing other people. And they were worried that if they did not do these things, their future in heaven might be in jeopardy. Well, Paul wrote to them about this in here, and we can learn from that. In Colossians 2:17, it says, all such things are only a shadow of the things in the future. You know, we do baptism. And we do it because the Bible tells us to do it. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done. But it's a shadow. It's not really what Jesus did for us. It's a shadow, kind of a picture, a shadow. You ever see a shadow box or something where you can see something going on, but you can't really tell what it is? It's a shadow. And then he says this, the reality is Christ. The reality is Jesus. All this stuff about worry about the future is meaningless because for the Christian, the reality is Christ. And if we surrender our future to Jesus, then we will automatically be closer to Him. And then surrender your will. Write that down. Will. That means surrender what you want to do in order to do what Christ wants you to do. Your surrender of your will in order to do God's will, Jesus tells us that's important. In fact, He seems to indicate in His teaching that only by surrendering our will to God can we enter into God's family and be close to Him. In Matthew 12:50, He says, whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I mean, that's about as close as you can get to people. You know, most people, and this is true, the only person or people who really know really you is your brother and sister. You say, no, my mama knows me. No, they do not. You put on the dog for your mama because you don't want to get in trouble. You sure do for your daddy, you know. But you don't care what your brother and sister think about you, do you? You act just like you act. And they know you. That's as close as you can get. But, he does talk father and mother and all of that. You want to be close to Jesus as his brother and sister and mother. And I think he left poor Joseph out because probably Joseph died, you know, when he was a boy or something. So I don't know. But if you want to be that close, you surrender your will to do the will of the Father. Surrender your will. And then surrender your dreams. You know, we're real big on dreams in our culture, aren't we? You know what I'm talking about. You ever watch TV? It just makes me want to scream. Pretty much everything I watch on TV makes me want to scream. But, you know, we're real big on dreams. Kids, and I see this on TV, and I hear this in school, and people bring kids. My kids used to bring things home from school just made me want to vomit because of this. It says, because kids are always being lied to and told that if they dream about something enough and try hard enough, that dream will come true. And then that way you got these guys that weigh 80 pounds that are going to play for the NFL. No, they're not. You know, I'm 4'10". I'm going to play for the NBA. No, you're not. You know. I got a 2 on my ACT. I'm going to get a scholarship at college. No, you're not. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I think if we have dreams, that's the first step to doing anything. I'm not against having dreams. But my stars, folks, I have dreams at night sometimes. I don't want them to come true. You know what I'm saying? And I had dreams when I was in high school, and I praise God they didn't come true. It's interesting. And it's no wonder to me, and we read about this, and we have all these young people in their late 20s who are so discouraged and so depressed and so everything because we have lied to them for 20 years. If you just dream, you can do this. If you just dream, you can do this. If you just dream, you can do this. You can do it. And they get to be about 29, 28, 30, and their dreams haven't come true. And all of a sudden it hits them, they're not going to come true. So they get depressed. But what about if you surrendered your dreams to God? What if you said, all right, God, I do not want my dreams for myself. I want your dreams for me. What about that? You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you're going to be like 20 years down the road. So He knows what you're really going to make you happy 20 years down the road. I know what's going to make me happy. No, you don't. But God does. So trust Him with your dreams. Surrender them. You know, it's interesting. Verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Interesting word there, that word path. It has to do with the future. It has to do, like Miss Deborah, did you know what I was see, this is not funny. God is so interesting. It's so great and wonderful and good. It has to do, see, He knew the path that horse was going in. God knows the path. And He knew that other path wasn't the right one to take, even though it might look like a lot of fun and interesting and da-da-da-da-da. But the right path, thank goodness for stubborn horses. You want dreams about the future, allow God to set your path straight, your future straight. Surrender your dreams. And surrender your mate, M-A-T-E. Most single young people are miserable, worrying about their future mates. I was like this, you know. Finally, I turned 30, and I realized I was miserable, and I was far from God because I was always stewing around about this. I wasn't married. I just was miserable. So I surrendered my future mate to the Lord, and immediately, 6 years later, I met Becky. But you know what happened? I surrendered her, my future mate, and when I did that, I became closer to Jesus. And had I not done that, when I met my future mate, she wouldn't have liked me. We both talk about that. Neither one of us, if we'd have met earlier, would have liked each other. In fact, we did meet each earlier. We didn't like each other. You know what I'm saying, you know. So let God prepare you and just surrender that mate. And if you're married and you have a family, surrender your family. Surrender that old mule-headed mate of yours. Surrender that rebellious teenager. That's much better than strangling them. And surrender that embarrassing father that just always runs his mouth and embarrasses you in front of your friends and tells jokes you don't get and all that. When you do that, you'll immediately become closer to Jesus. I promise you. And He'll make your path straight or literally smooth. Surrender your mate. And finally, surrender your finances. Oh, no. Lord, You are more precious than silver. Oh, and we could just get all teary-eyed. We could sing that. Lord, You're more precious than silver. And then the offering comes up, and we don't cry too much over the offering, do we? A special area of trusting in the Lord, you know, many modern Christians struggle with. I don't think it's a modern problem. I think it's always been a problem. But if you don't come to an area of surrender in it, you will never be as close to Jesus as you wish to be. You need to pray about it, and you need to set a goal. And you need to obey that goal and give and trust in the Lord. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you must make up his own mind about how much to give. And I had somebody, you know, we did a study on that one time. So I said, God told me to give 1%. And I said, well, good for you, you cheapskate. But, you know, I think 10% is a good place to start. But, you know, you can't limit yourself to 10% because, golly, God's giving you some, you got a whole 90%, and when your other things come up, like Lou and Brandy or somebody like that, you give more. But it's a good place to start. But if you don't feel like you can do that, start off giving 1%, you cheapskate. But you know what I'm saying? At least do that. If you do it, do it, you know, consistently. The amount is not as important as the surrender and the obedience, and it shouldn't be legalistic. I'm just being kind of silly. 10% is a good place to start. The Old Testament teaches that. Actually, it teaches 30%, but we won't get into that. You know, you can give, always give more. But surrender of your heart means surrender of your pocketbook as well. I could go on. You get the idea. Now, the key word in this passage is this word all. I told you I was going to come back to the passage here. You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. All includes your rights, all includes your future, all includes your dreams, all includes your family, your future mate, your finances. It includes it all, everything. I started to preach about everything we could surrender, but I felt like we'd probably go to, after about a week, y'all get irritated. All includes it all. And folks, you're never going to be close to God until you give it all to Him. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And when you surrender it all to Him, just wait. And you will be closer and have a wonderful relationship with Him. Now, Lord means supreme authority over all. So he's got the right to ask you anything. Henry Blackaby says, God has a right to interrupt your life whenever he wants to. You ever been right in the middle of a football game or something and the phone rings? Thank goodness now you can just punch a little button and pause it. You know what I'm talking about. But back in the day, you couldn't do that. And you just, you know, you get so irritated that people interrupt your life and your football game and your whatever. God's got a right to interrupt you no matter what is going on, when it's going on, 24/7, if he's your Lord. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And if he is not your Lord, this may explain why you're not close to him. And Christian, it's a wonderful for us to know, because someone once told me this: nothing under God's control can ever be out of control. And so many times we think our lives are running down the road out of control. If it's under God's control, it's not out of control. Usually when my life's out of control, it's because I'm in control. I'm not a very good driver. Just ask anybody. Let the Lord truly be your Lord and surrender it all to Him. Trust Him with it all. We named a few things: your rights, your future, your will, your dreams, your family, your finances, all. But you must have a relationship with Jesus. You know, the reason Jesus came and died on the cross is simply because the world at His time, we don't understand in our culture and in the place that we live. Some of us have been over to third world countries, and we know what it's like there. Understand that when Jesus came, the entire world was like that. It was a horrible place where sin had taken over, and poverty and people and women and children were oppressed and diseased. And it was an awful place. Even in the more prestigious, richer places, it was awful. And God looked down and He saw what sin was doing to the world, so He sent Jesus, His Son. And Jesus came and Jesus died on the cross. Because that way, we who are sinners could look away from our sin to Him. And we could come out of that sin into the light. And when we do that, then we can begin to spread that light. And that light, over the years, has made the world a better place. Now we see some darkness coming, don't we? But it doesn't have to be that way. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and sin is messing your life up, then you need to surrender and turn from your sin to Jesus in faith and call upon His name in love and say, Lord, I want You to be my Savior. I believe in You. I encourage you to do that today. And Christian, you just don't have that any rights. If you think you do, and you can be mad at me all you want, but the truth is you don't have any. And if you think you got some, it's making you pretty miserable. Just surrender, and your life will be so much better. Let's pray. Father, we turn this time of invitation over to You. Lord, we just pray that Your will be done. And we certainly pray that if there's someone here that does not know You as their Savior, that today they would accept You. We pray that if there are Christians here that are standing on their rights and trying to have their way and all of that and are miserable, that they would surrender to You as well. Whatever needs to happen during this time, we pray that it will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and Amy will play and you do whatever the Holy Spirit may be leading you to do.